defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A cover story in Christianity Today gives a tale of two scientists, and the bottom line you get out of the article when you finish reading it is that there's some strong evidence for the evolutionary paradigm. In fact, in part, the article says the first human genome sequence was published the year that one of these Christian professors began graduate school providing strong evidence for evolution. The DNA for chimps and humans was virtually the same. The article goes on, without belaboring the point, let me simply say this. One of the reasons I wrote the Creation Answer book is because all too often people are falling for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. To assume that hominids and humans are closely related because both of them can walk upright is tantamount to saying that, well, that a hummingbird and a helicopter are closely related because both can fly. The distance between an ape, which cannot read or write, and a descendant of Adam who can compose a musical masterpiece or send a man to the moon is the distance of infinity. The bottom line is evolution cannot satisfactorily account for the genesis of life, or for the genetic code, or for the ingenious synchronization process needed to produce life from a single fertilized human egg. Nor can evolution satisfactorily explain how physical processes can produce metaphysical realities like consciousness and spirituality. The insatiable drive to produce a missing link has substituted selling and sensationalism and subjectivism for solid science. So now, under the guise of quote-unquote solid science, we are importing theistic evolution into the Christian worldview. And it simply doesn't square. Again, the Creation Answer book, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, answers to the most common and controversial questions about creation. And remember, how one views their origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. If you believe you are a function of undirected, purposeless processes, you're going to live by a different standard than if you know you are created in the image of God and accountable to Him. You can order online at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can speak with one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First, Lisa, listening in Santa Clarita, California on the World Wide Web. Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon. My question is, is there hope for me to be cured from the spiritual warfare because I consulted Buddhist feng shui along with the divination of sage of the Middle East without understanding that these are detestable to the Lord?
Yeah, just repent and ask the Lord's forgiveness and move on. There's no spiritual, mystical force that binds you that Jesus Christ cannot break. So if you repent and if you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, or if you have, and I assume you probably have by the way you frame the question, then the old has passed, the new has come. You know, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And as far as spiritual warfare is concerned, we have to put the emphasis in the right place. So often we put the emphasis on the power of Satan to bind. But really, we should be putting the emphasis on the power of the Lord to protect. So if you put on the full armor of God, you're strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So I would not at all worry about what happened in the past. I'd press on. I'd put on the full armor every day as we're commanded to. And then you'll be invincible in spiritual warfare.
Wow. Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you for all your help. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Lisa. And if you want to hang on, we actually did an article on feng shui in the Christian Research Journal. So if you want further information, hang on. I'd be happy to send that article out to you as my gift. I want to go back to the phone lines. By the way, the number to dial Monday through Friday at this time, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to an easy number, 888-275-4265. Or just remember, 888-ASK-HANK. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Joe, El Paso, Texas, listening on KELP. Hi, Joe.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, sir, can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, I want to ask you, what is a better way to approach Jehovah's Witness? I have a family member in my family who's Jehovah. He's actually been a Jehovah's Witness for quite some time. And I wanted to ask you, well, first of all, have you ever known anyone that you personally known, or they came to Christ, and even though they were a Jehovah's Witness for quite some time? And what is a better way, or how the strategy, how to approach them, how to witness to them?
Yeah, not coming through too clear, but I did hear what you said. First of all, yes, I have seen Jehovah's Witnesses come out of the watchtower. In fact, I've seen Jehovah's Witnesses come out of the watchtower and become those who teach Christians how to witness to the witnesses. Sometimes it seems as though you're kicking against the goad, you're getting nowhere, but you can sow a seed, someone else comes by and waters the seed, and God gives the increase. But the best way in witnessing to the witnesses is to stay with the main and the plain things, which is to say, the nature of God, the person and work of Jesus Christ, and how is one saved. So stick with the essentials of the historic Christian faith as opposed to going off on rabbit trails. And the reason for this is that the Watchtower teaches devotees to believe that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael, and during his earthly sojourn, he became merely human. And then after his crucifixion, he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. And of course, they also deny the centerpiece of the Christian faith, the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Charles Taze Russell, their founder, actually said that the body that hung on the torture stake — they don't believe in a cross, they believe in a torture stake — either dissolved into gases or is preserved somewhere as a grand memorial of God's love. Christians, however, believe that Jesus bodily resurrected and is forever Theanthropus, the God-man. I've written about this in various places. If you want to hang on, I'm happy to send you some information to help you witness effectively to the witnesses. Back to the phone lines. Next up is Pam Due West, South Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Pam.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Okay, first of all, my question has got to do with when the punctuation was added to the Bible. Now, I don't believe everything I read online, but I think this came from remnant.org. I was reading, and they were saying that the punctuation wasn't added till years after the King James Version was written, and they were saying that in Luke 23:43, that the comma is in the wrong place, like where it says, "Verily I say unto thee today," comma, instead of what it says, "Unto thee today you will be with me in paradise." In other words, they're trying to make it sense, because they said it was contradicting itself when Jesus appeared to Mary in 3 days and said she hadn't ascended to her father yet. He hadn't ascended to his father yet.
Well, I mean, all of that is just nonsense. First of all, what other day would Jesus be speaking to the thief on the cross? I mean, obviously it is today, but
they tried, they were trying to make it sound like today.
No, I understand. Yeah, like I'm telling you today. What other day would he be telling them that? But the natural understanding here is that he would today be with Jesus Christ in paradise because he was going to die, and Jesus was promising that he would be with him. Just as Jesus said to the Father, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And Jesus made very clear what happened when a person died. They would be absent from the body, present with the Lord. In Luke chapter 16, the way it's described is two men die. And when they die, Lazarus is immediately carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom or paradise, and the rich man ended up in torment. So that happened instantaneously. And not only that, but if you are a believer, you are in paradise, and that is why Jesus was promising the thief on the cross who believed in Jesus on the cross that he would, because of his belief, because of his faith, be with Jesus in paradise that very day. For they were going to die, and therefore the body of Jesus would be buried, probably the body of the thief discarded. But nonetheless, the non-material aspect of their humanity would be with the Lord, speaking again in this case, specifically of the thief.
When was the punctuation actually added to the Bible?
Well, I don't know exactly when, but I think it is absolutely correct to say that punctuation was an addition. I can't remember. I used to know, but I can't remember off the top of my head exactly when punctuation was added. But I don't think that the argument rises and falls on the punctuation. I think that is a red herring.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk to Simon next in Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Simon.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just have a question. My wife and I, we had a miscarriage a while ago, and I was just wondering what you could tell me about what the Bible says happens to the kid. And I know people talk about David and, it was the Lord's discipline when his son died. What happens, in light of the New Testament, and I don't know if you could just answer.
Sure.
I could hang up.
Yeah. Well, Simon, when your wife gave birth, she gave birth to a body-soul unity. In other words, she didn't just give birth to a body. She gave birth to a body and a soul. That's what it means to be human. That's what it means to give birth to a human being. So at the miscarriage, the body of the baby died, but the soul of the baby, your baby, went on to be with the Lord. And so you have the assurance as a believer that one day you will be reconciled and you will forever be with your child in eternity. That's the very reason that David, in the same circumstance, was able to wash his face and go on with life. It is because he wasn't going to be with the child in time, but he knew that he would be with the child in eternity. And with that hope, we can carry on. So Christianity never gives us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, but it does give us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the promise of resurrection. We had the same circumstance. We had the death of a preborn child named Baby Grace. And the thing that helps you to counter the disorienting blow of death is the hope of resurrection, and that's what we cling to. There's no real answer to why. And anyone that wants to put a guilt trip on you cannot do so credibly, because the Bible simply doesn't answer the why question. What it does teach us, however, is to trust him in the midst of our whys. And Simon, that is precisely what you can do. Trust God, because the Bible in which he has revealed himself demonstrates that he is indeed trustworthy. I've written about this in a number of different places. One of the places that comes to mind immediately is the covering, God's plan to protect you from evil, in which I talk about death and how we can overcome death through the hope of resurrection. All too often in our culture, what happens is we try to paper over death with clever cliches. We try to drive death into the closet, but none of that really works. The only thing that ultimately works is a recognition biblically and truthfully that death is defeated. And therefore, we can say, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Only can that be said credibly because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which guarantees our resurrection as well. Again, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, is a book that deals specifically with this issue. And it is available. You can order online at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Or, as always, pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Under constant pressure to conform to the myth of evolution, many Christians have given in to compromise. But with Hank's newest book, The Creation Answer Book, you'll be able to fact-check the statements of theistic evolutionists and others who try to mesh evolution with Genesis. The Creation Answer Book is our thank you for your gift of any amount today. Because we're entirely listener-supported, your gift makes a real difference. So call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now to partner with us and request your copy of The Creation Answer Book. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD With God on Our Side, our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. Please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Whether your politics are on the right, the left, or somewhere in between, there is a more fundamental question to answer before deciding how to vote. Are Christians called to use the political process to enshrine biblical morality into law? Is legislating morality biblical? Other topics include Jehovah's Witnesses and John 1:1. New evidence advances the discussion. Mormonism, Christian, cult, or what? The Bibliographical Test Update, and in the popular Ask Hank column, Hank Hanegraaff answers the question, what's the key to interpreting Ezekiel's prophecies? Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Does God have a salvation plan for the Jews that doesn't involve Christ? Megachurch pastor and founder of Christians United for Israel, John Hagee, says, quote, "Let us put an end to this Christian chatter that all the Jews are lost and can't be in the will of God until they convert to Christianity. For many Christian Zionists, there's no need to evangelize the Jews and every need to ensure Israel's complete control of the land boundaries defined in the Bible. But are they right biblically? Gain new insight on this tough and controversial question. Request your copy of the Revealing DVD with God on Our Side as our thank you when you support CRI with a gift of any amount today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Denise, listening in Lincoln, Nebraska on Bud Radio. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Hank. I just want to tell you how I am to be able to talk to you, and I've asked God to richly bless you because you blessed all of us so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Denise.
I have a very quick question. I'm hearing on the radio people referring to Christian apologetics, and I don't know what that means.
Yeah, well, denotatively, it just means a reasoned defense or an answer. And it actually is derived from what Peter was explaining when he said, always be prepared to give an answer or an apologetic to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and with respect. So that's the idea. It's to give a reasoned defense or an answer.
So to be able to quote scripture, to be able to give the Christian reason to any of those questions?
Yeah, it is giving an answer for the hope that you have. And as such, it's what I call pre-evangelism. So it's the handmaiden to evangelism. It's using an answer as a springboard or an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. So someone has a question. It's not enough to answer the question, but you want to use your answer as an opportunity to share the gospel.
Okay. I understand that simple enough. Thank you.
You got it. I should also mention as a postscript that apologetics is post-evangelism as well. In the swirling waves of doubt and despair that often threaten to submerge our faith, it is crucial to be familiar with the pillars or posts on which that faith is founded. In other words, God created the universe. Jesus Christ demonstrated that he is God through the immutable fact of his resurrection, and the Bible is demonstrably divine rather than human in origin. And that, in a nutshell, is what apologetics is all about. And if you're looking for a truly rewarding experience, try becoming an apologist. Not only will you experience the power and presence of the Holy Spirit working through you, but you might just find yourself in the middle of an angelic praise gathering when you've helped a lost son or daughter of Adam find his or her way into the kingdom of God. I've written about this in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Anita. She's in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Anita.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I can't thank you enough, really. I feel like I have learned a lot through your ministry, but the question that I have today is regarding people that are gay or lesbians. I understand what the Bible says about that way of life, but I feel like our society once, you know, has pretty much gotten to the point where we are looked at as being prejudiced if we don't accept that lifestyle. And I have a nephew who is struggling with that, and I don't know how to go about helping him.
Yeah, well, the first thing I think is to recognize that God sets parameters around our lives so that our joy might be complete. So the notion is never from a biblical perspective that God is some kind of a cosmic killjoy, but rather he knows how we are designed and wants us to live within proper parameters so that we don't hurt ourselves. So he's given us an owner's manual. That owner's manual is the Bible. In the prologue to your question, you said something very wise. You were saying, in essence, that homosexuality is not an identity. It is a behavior. You use the word lifestyle. And that's absolutely true. I think the culture has kind of imposed this false paradigm on us that homosexuality is an identity. I'm a homosexual. That's not true. It is a behavior. And
right.
There are all kinds of behaviors that we have predilections towards. And we have to, on the basis of God's word, say, I want to do it His way as opposed to doing it my way. And that's what repentance is all about. It's a U-turn on the road of life. It's saying, I think God knows better than I know, and therefore I'm going to turn and do it His way rather than my own way. That's the essence of the issue. And that's why I say that the issue is oftentimes solved when someone turns their heart towards home. When they do, then they want to start living in conformity to His will as opposed to doing it their own way.
Okay, so how do I go about helping him? I mean, he was raised Christian, but my family is, they haven't said so to me. I think they know how strongly I feel about the subject. So pretty much nobody says anything. And I don't know how to go about helping him as far as being saved. I mean, I think they believe that he was born that way, and I just need to accept it and not bring it up.
Well, I think sometimes that's true. You testify by your life and by your love, and if necessary, use words. But when he sees the reality of Christ within your life, he may very well want you to communicate with him. I've had that very experience with friends of mine who were engaged in same-sex sexuality. And, you know, I testified by my life, I testified by my love, and then when they ran into very difficult circumstances, and I say that in plural because I'm thinking of two specific cases right now, they wanted to come to me because they trusted me and they wanted my advice, and that gave me the perfect opportunity to be a witness at that time. So I think that the same will that gets someone into a behavior has to be the will that gets them out of that behavior. But truly, homosexuality requires a person to contradict their own biology. In other words, it's sort of a self-evident truth when you think about it logically. God does not play a cruel joke on people by creating their minds and emotions for attraction to same-sex sexuality, and yet creating their bodies in direct opposition to that attraction. So common sense actually is enough to know that the lifestyle is not a lifestyle that comports with reality. And that's precisely what the Apostle Paul says. Even Gentiles without access to direct revelation of Scripture have enough evidence in the natural realm to discover God's aversion to homosexual behavior. So even if they don't get it by reading Scripture, natural revelation is enough to uncloak that mystery for them.
Okay. So do you have any advice for me? I mean, I just need to pray, maybe, and not say anything, because I have a very hard time. Like, I guess I'm concerned about his salvation, and I want to know that.
Yeah, but you can't talk anybody into the kingdom. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, so you need to be prepared. I've oftentimes said this, Anita, we must not focus as much on evangelism as equipping for evangelism, which is to say, if we are equipped, God will give us opportunities. But you can't talk anybody into the kingdom. And as you go through life, whether it's someone you deeply love and know very well or a stranger, we need to be prepared to always give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. So we need to be ready to witness, but ultimately it's God that changes the heart. So we want to be an effective tool as hands, but you can love anyone regardless. You can love them and prepare yourself, which is a demonstration of that love, to be able to testify when they want to hear. But trying to force feed someone is very difficult. Someone has well said that you can't, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, that's true unless you put salt in the oats. And I think the salt in your oats is your life and your love. That makes people hungry to know what it is that's different about you, and oftentimes opens the door for evangelism. In the meantime, demonstrate your love. Again, you obviously have a passion for this person. Demonstrate your love, but you can't talk them into the kingdom. You can pray for them.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much.
You got it. And, you know, we've got some good books by Joe Dallas, if you want to go to the World Wide Web at equip.org, some wonderful books. One's called The Gay Gospel, the other's Desires in Conflict, Hope for Men Who Struggle with Sexual Identity. Various really credible, wonderful resources. There's no one on the planet that knows this subject better than Joe Dallas and can more biblically and compassionately communicate the antidote.
Awesome. Thank you.
You got it.
I will look into those.
Okay, back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Michael next in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Michael. Hello, Michael. Michael going once. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Corey in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Corey.
Hi, Hank. My name's Lori.
Oh, hi, Lori.
You say that when we hear things about the Bible, maybe I'll word this wrong, but you say we like shouldn't take your word or just take it that it's true. We should check it out and be a Berean.
Yep, absolutely.
So I didn't know if I was going to articulate right what I'm going to say, so I asked you that. So, like, I read some stuff about Muslims recently, and I thought, you know, you kind of fall into it, and you think, oh, is that what they believe? And then I thought, I'm going to check it out because I don't want to start believing stuff that I don't know for sure. Is it okay? Do the Muslims believe that it's okay to lie to infidels if it furthers the cause of Islam?
Well, some Muslims do believe that, and they believe that there's a biblical basis or a Quranic basis for doing that, but not all Muslims do. So just as there are a wide variety of beliefs held within Christianity, some biblical and some sub-biblical, so there are a wide variety of beliefs and behaviors that are encapsulated under the rubric of Islam.
Well, Hank, what I read actually, and I told you I didn't know if I would articulate it adequately, but what I actually read was that the Quran teaches that. Like, I was reading that if there's something written earlier in the Quran that's peaceable and the same kind of information is written later and it's radical, they go by what is superseded. So they would go by the end one, which is more radical. And so I actually read that this thing about lying to infidels.
Yeah, and that's what I just said in terms of answering the question. I used the word Quranic, but I was talking about the Quran. But there are various Islamic scholars that will interpret that in different ways and give you a different spin on it. And that's why I say the Islamic belief in this regard is not monolithic, it's multifaceted. Be right back with more answers.
Leading Christian Zionist Michael Evans considers Palestinians a tainted and brainwashed people and contends that Palestine belongs exclusively to those who are racially and religiously Jewish. How do we respond knowing some of the people Evans denounces are our brothers and sisters in Christ? Hear the stories of Palestinian Christians firsthand on the eye-popping DVD With God on Our Side. It's our thank you for your support gift of any amount today so we can continue sharing the truths you need to hear. To give, just call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In separate articles, Hank Hanegraaff and Steve Gregg make sense of Ezekiel's difficult temple vision. Other topics include, is legislating morality biblical? Did Jesus and Paul preach two different gospels? Are evangelicals really at war with science? An exploration of how Jack Kerouac shaped the life script of today's millennial generation. A summary critique of Mark and Grace Driscoll's controversial book, Real Marriage, The Truth About Sex, Friendship, and Life Together, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe to the journal online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD With God on Our Side. Our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. Please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Ray, listening in Chesterfield, Missouri. Hi, Ray.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to know if Jesus returns, if he's going to, like, write another chapter to the Bible, like to call it the completed testament, divine principle.
No. When Jesus Christ returns, we will have direct access to Revelation, because Jesus is the supreme creator of all things, knows all things, and the beautiful thing is that, like his disciples, we will be able to commune with a living, resurrected Christ. So we will have direct access to direct revelation.
Oh, okay. So he's going to be born of a woman this time? Or he's going to come back in a manger again?
No, Jesus is resurrected from the dead. So he was born of a woman in the incarnation. So you have one person with two natures, 100% divine and 100% human, and so it forever will be. The Christian faith is historic and evidential. We know that God created the universe. That's just common sense. Every effect has to have a cause greater than or equal to itself. We know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, so he did what no other person can do. Not only so, but he manifested the credential of sinlessness. And we know that the Bible, at least we can build a cumulative case for the fact that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. The Bible says that Jesus is forever in flesh and that he will appear a second time, that the veil between these interlocking, overlapping domains will disappear and Christ will appear a second time and we will have direct access to him, in other words, direct revelation. We'll go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mary in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Mary.
Good evening, Mr. Hanegraaff. I'm very pleased to be able to speak with you. Thank you for letting me speak on your show. I have a question. It's a done deal in my mind, okay? But I would like your input on it. I really love reading my Bible, and I think I've got a pretty good handle on the question, which is free will. Somebody was asking me about, well, where do you see it in Scripture? You know, those two words together. Well, there's free will offering, and we don't need to go into that because that's a part of the Hebrew offering to God, right? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. And then there's people, you know, you hear pastors and ministers or whatever talking about man having free will. And I told this person, I said, and I looked this up in an exhaustive concordance, if you will, and didn't find anything about that term, the two words, free will. But I did tell them, I said, have you ever thought about reading the book of Judges again?
So what is your question?
Question is, free will is not really in the Bible, but the Bible's about God's will for man and what happens to man when they decide to use their free will. In other words, they break away from God's will for them.
Yeah, well, there are basically two different ideas that people have. One is theistic fatalism. A fatalist, of course, believes the future, especially regarding the destiny of an individual, is fixed. And a theistic fatalist believes that a personal God unconditionally determines where individuals will go when they die, whether that be to heaven or hell. And there are those who say precisely that God arranges all things by his sovereign counsel in such a way that individuals are born who are doomed from the womb to certain death. In fact, that is precisely what John Calvin said and what he believed, that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man and in him the ruin of his posterity, but also at his own pleasure arranged it, and that all are not created equal, but some are preordained to eternal life, others are preordained to eternal damnation, and accordingly, he said, as each has been created for one or the other of those ends, we say that he has been predestined to life or to death. Not only that, but John Calvin said that Paul teaches us that the ruin of the wicked is not only foreseen by the Lord, but also ordained by his counsel and his will. Not only the destruction of the wicked is foreknown, but that the wicked themselves have been created for this very end, that they may perish. Now, in my view, the Bible does teach that we have will, which is to say, while our will is not morally neutral, we have the ability to act or to act otherwise. You see this delineated throughout Scripture. I think of what Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse when he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Or in Acts chapter 7, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit," which requires will. Or I think it's Luke chapter 7, where the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. They rejected God's purpose for themselves. Or Jonah 2, that famous passage where those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could have been theirs. There are many other passages like that. "If you were blind," said Jesus, "you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." So I think that there are many passages that explicate the notion that we have the ability to act or to act otherwise. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Heather. She's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Hank. I was wondering if you could tell me what you know about Joseph Prince. I was given his name by a counselor who said he is, and I had listened to him on YouTube, and I kind of thought he might be Word of Faith. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's a classic prosperity peddler, has a big church in Singapore, and has a television program that's beamed all around the world, not a reliable preacher. Someone that I would avoid, and I've written in principle about the kind of prosperity peddling that he does in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I wasn't sure. This guy said, he's right on, and I thought, when I listened to him, I thought, he sounds like he's Word of Faith, but I wasn't positive.
It sounds like you have good discernment skills.
Well, I hope so.
Yes.
But I wanted to check with you because I thought, maybe I'm just imagining it.
Nope. Yeah, you're absolutely right in your discernment. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jordan in St. Louis, Missouri. Jordan is listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Jordan.
Hi there, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
My question for you is about Abraham's bosom in the Old Testament. My husband and I were just reading through Ephesians, and the question came up about what happened to the Gentiles when they died in the Old Testament. And we heard about Abraham's bosom, but didn't fully understand that whole concept. So if you could explain that, that would be great.
Yeah, Abraham's bosom is really what is described by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 16. Remember when Lazarus the beggar died, the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom or Abraham's side. It is a way of describing being in the presence of God, being at peace, being in bliss. And that's what happens to a believer that dies. A believer dies and they're absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that is true whether it's Abraham in the Old Testament before the cross or someone like you and me who might die after the cross. We are absent from the body, present with the Lord, and that is described biblically as being in paradise or being in Abraham's bosom, the place of comfort, the place of the presence of God. Conversely, if you are an unbeliever, not part of true Israel, then you end up in torment. But in either case, you're disembodied, awaiting that time when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appears a second time. Then the soul returns to the body, and we're resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And then we're either separated from the love and grace of God for all eternity, or we're ushered into the presence of God for all eternity in a renewed universe that no longer groans in travail.
Okay, I see. So the places are the same then in the Old Testament and New Testament, is it different wording? Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, there are various ways of describing it. In the Old Testament, you have this notion of Sheol, or the abode of the dead. But the Old Testament makes very clear the same idea, whether you're talking about Daniel or Isaiah or Ezekiel, the exact same idea that is delineated by Jesus Christ. Those multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. And therefore, says Daniel, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Jesus picked up on that theme using almost the same words. Do not be amazed at this. The time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be condemned. But prior to that time of resurrection that the Old Testament's foretold and that the New Testament authors point to as a result of Christ, who is the earnest of our resurrection, we're disembodied, either in the presence of the Lord or in torment apart from the presence of the Lord, awaiting that time that the resurrection and final judgment takes place.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Thank you so much, Hank. I really appreciate you and your ministry.
Thank you so much for calling, and we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apologies to those still hanging on. We'll look forward to answering more questions right here next week on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Do remember that for your gift all this month with God on our side, if you don't have the DVD, it's a must-see. It's my job as president of the Christian Research Institute to bring the big issues to you with God on our side. The whole issue of Christian Zionism is one of those big issues, so get the DVD for your gift at equip.org. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just log on to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast on your computer or download archived broadcast. To talk to a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or you can write to us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD With God on Our Side, our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. Please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.